It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.
Save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from five unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial. Use it on a wide range of wood or metal projects for long-lasting results. Choose from over 50 color options available now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Pending approval from the EPA, there could be a considerable increase in intensive farming here, with some 36 intensive pig and poultry farms planned. Where are we currently when it comes to the level of intensive farming happening here? Are we exporting the meat, and to where? Is it bad for animal welfare? Well, we'll be talking to Nigel Sweetman, the chair of the IFA Poultry Committee, in a few minutes' time. But first of all, Caroline Rowley is founder of Ethical Farming Ireland. Caroline, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, some of the figures are quite alarming in terms of the amount of poop. That's what kind of catches people's imaginations. I mean, the story is that these new intensive pig and poultry farms would generate as much poo as Limerick City. Is that true?
Well, it's not something that I've looked into too much, but yes, I've read that in the report as well. And I know that there has been an investigation that found that there was a lot of illegal dumping of litter from the poultry sector. But, you know, really, yeah. I am concerned about the environmental aspect of this because, you know, we're in a climate crisis. You know, this is going in the wrong direction and giving out the wrong message. We're meant to be reducing the amount of livestock. Like, how are we going to reach our targets if we're increasing the amount of livestock, you know? Yeah. But really, you know, my main concern would be around the huge welfare issues that are inherent in the intensive pig and poultry sectors. You know, and in Ireland, the majority of pigs and chickens, you know, they are reared intensively. And, you know, they basically endure a life of misery. And the main problem is because they can't carry out any of their natural behaviours. You know? We're currently running an awareness campaign with My Lovely Pig Rescues, highlight the conditions that pigs are reared in Ireland. Let's look at some figures here. There's around 1.7 million pigs in Ireland currently. Where are they all? You know, we don't see them. We see fields with cattle and sheep. Where are all the pigs? They're hidden away in sheds. You know, their natural habitat is woodland. They have an innate need to root and forage. It's hardwired into their DNA. Yeah. It's what they need to do. But they can't do that when they're in a shed on bare slatted flooring with nothing to do.
Now, if
they're
lucky, has there ever been that kind of pig farming, though, in Ireland? Because even when I was a schoolboy, I used to go down a little place called Chicken Lane and there was a guy with pigs. They were in a shed and they never saw the grassland. I mean, I'm just wondering, did farmers ever, unlike those farmers in Italy who rear these rare black pigs to produce their Parma hams and all the rest of it, did we ever have pigs roaming across our fields?
Yeah, well, I think in the past, you know, a lot of people would have a few pigs. Yeah, they could be in a shed or they could be outside. And there are free-range farms in Ireland. But, you know, And they do manage very well, but you know, I know that with soil types and the weather and that kind of thing, you know, perhaps it's not practical to have free range farms, you know, as the norm. But the indoor systems could be greatly improved. You know, for a start, we have an EC pig directive that states that pigs, they shouldn't have routinely docked tails or clipped teeth, and they should be provided with adequate enrichment. Now, 99% of pigs in Ireland have docked tails. You know, so this is in breach of the pig directive, and it's dealing with the symptom, not the cause. The main problem is they're on fully slatted flooring, so they can't be provided with straw bedding or spent mushroom compost or anything like that because it will fall through into the slurry pit underneath. So some countries like Sweden, Norway, Denmark and the Netherlands, I think, they've banned fully slatted flooring. So, and the pigs have to have like a straw bedding area where they can root and forage, and you know, it gives them something to do. You know, they're bored, they're frustrated.
Now, clearly, from the pig farmer's point of view, they'd be saying, we couldn't do that because we couldn't have as many pigs in the space we have available. We'd have to cut the number of pigs by 50% or whatever in order to provide that.
You know, this is the thing. You know, we do have to reduce the amount of livestock, and we do have to reduce the amount of animal produce that we're consuming. Our diets are too heavy in meat and dairy. The Irish population, studies have shown we're not getting anywhere near enough fruit and veg. We're not getting our 5 day or 7 day, whatever it
is
now.
But you see, the demand, demand for pig meat, we'll come to poultry in a moment, the demand for pig meat is there. It's internationally. I mean, we import a lot of pig meat from Italy and so on. And I'm not sure how they do things very differently over there than we do here.
No, this problem is widespread across the EU and across the world, actually, you know. And there was recently the European Food and Safety Authority actually published a report, you know, they've been doing a study on this, and they found 17 major welfare issues, you know, across the board, with restriction of movement, inability to express.
Yeah. Now, why is the Department of Agriculture not dealing with these? If there's a law about the docking of pigs' tails, a quick inspection would indicate whether or not the piglets' tails had been docked, and therefore action taken appropriately against those offending farmers.
Absolutely. No, and this is, we are actually running a petition at the moment to try and push the government into enforcing the EC Pig Directive. But the problem is, it's just something that's been let slide across Europe as well. Now excuse my pronunciation, Tagish, they're doing, they have a project currently running at the moment. It's called One Well Pig. And they are looking into this, and they're building a facility down there that sounds amazing. They've got access to outdoors. They're having an area where there's straw bedding and stuff like that. You know, it is being addressed, but very slowly. You know, these systems that are in place now, they've been devised to maximise profits, you know, with minimal input.
Well, the farmers, and we don't have a representative of the pig farmers here. We have Nigel Sweetman, the chair of the IFA Poultry Committee. We'll talk poultry in a moment. But the pig farmers, I'm sure, would say it's not to maximise profit, it's just to make a profit. It's hard enough to make ends meet. And if we had to do what you're talking about in terms of space, it would not be viable. And everything we would be eating would be imported from Spain or Italy.
Well, no. And you know, like this, like the European Food and Safety Report that came out, this is a European issue, you know, and it does have to be dealt with on a European level. But, you know, we have to consider the welfare of the animals, Pat, you know. These are sentient beings. And you know, if we're going to eat animals, they should at least deserve a decent life.
Okay. Now, can you deal?
The whole food system needs to be.
Caroline, can you deal with poultry before I talk to Nigel, because he's here to talk about that?
So poultry as well. You know, they're in intensive systems. They're indoors now. The main problem with the poultry is that genetic breeding has made these chickens that grow at absurdly accelerated rates, and that's causing huge health and welfare issues. To put it into perspective, egg-laying hens and chickens that we eat, you know, they're both derived from jungle fowl. Egg-laying hens are mature at between 5 to 6 months old. That's when they start laying eggs. The chickens that we eat, they reach sorter age at around 5 to 6 weeks old. That's a huge difference. Some of your listeners may have heard of the term Frankenchicken, because they look weird. You know, they've got these small heads, these massive chests. Their skeletal frame can't keep up with their body growth, so they have difficulty standing. They spend too much time lying down in litter. They get ammonia burns. It's a strain on their organs. They have leg disorders and all kinds of things like that. And these farms, they have between 20,000, 100,000 or more birds. It's not possible to take care of that many animals. You know, it is just too many. And again, it's a total factory productive system. You know, 5, 6 weeks old, off they go to slaughter, they get the next lot in. It's just the welfare is appalling.
All right, Caroline, thank you very much for joining us. Caroline Rowley, founder of Ethical Farming Ireland. Nigel, we'll talk to you about poultry. I mean, the kind of life cycle of the chicken, it seems a pretty sad one.
I suppose it's driven by supermarkets who've consistently looked for cheap food. If we look back 15 years ago, before before the discounters came to Ireland, poultry was where it is now in price. Before we started the strikes there last February, we were actually a euro behind on a chicken. We were getting a euro less than we were in 15 years prior to that.
A euro less 15 years on?
Yeah. So, like, people want cheap food. They want all the bells and whistles. But, lads, you've got to realise here, we're not living in utopia. Man used to live in caves. So do we all go back living in caves? No, the times have moved on. And if people want, like, we're looking at 8 billion people on the planet. We're looking at 9.5 billion in 15, yeah. 13, 20 years' time.
But, I mean, people like Ireland would argue, look, eat more fruit and veg and don't be going for animal protein because we can't feed all the planet on animal protein. Therefore, we should all cut back. What do you say to that?
Well, I'll stand up for the chicken first because 1.5 kgs of veg or fruit or cereal will produce 1 kilo of chicken and 2 litres of water. So there's nothing, it's the most efficient form of animal protein that we're going to, that we can fit into
our
diet.
What about the welfare of the chicken and, you know, the intensification, people have seen the pictures.
I suppose we come back to bigger range of licences that are coming through the EPA at the moment. That's been driven on the back of a 4-year period where the EPA were challenged on the political correctness of their EPA licensing system. There was a challenge they made there 4 years ago, and there was a period of 3 years with no licenses issued. So we're actually not seeing this big, huge, massive launch of new licenses, and a lot of them that are coming through are rearrangements of where guys were slightly below the threshold, or it's a rehash of existing licenses. And the EPA, there's a massive rigour going through an EPA licence. I see there on the whole question of the litter from my poultry, it's spread on tillage land, grows barley, the barley is fed back to my chickens. The screenings, the dust, the chaff from the screenings actually comes back to my farm, and I burn it in a biomass boiler, which actually produces the heat. So it's totally circular.
And that may be a very efficient way of doing business. What about the welfare of the birds? I mean, to be served up on a plate when you're 6 weeks old, basically, and what Caroline was saying is that, you know, for a hen to become a laying hen, it takes 6 months. So they're nowhere near, you know, their maturity.
Well, if you want to keep the chicken to 6 months, and in the US at the moment, they're taking the males from the laying hen and rearing them for 6 months, and they've tried this to pacify the audience there, but they've met no market on the commercial shelves, and they're actually being fed back in as food protein. But so it's a question of cost, and if the supermarket wants to pay the cost of keeping a chicken for. Yeah.
You know, when you point the finger at the multiples, and I mean, they're the obviously the German multiples most recently in the market, but you've got your Dunn Stores, your Tesco's, you've got the Super Values, the Musgrave Group, and all of those people. I mean, where is the pressure? Who actually is the price maker? Who decides at what level a chicken should be sold? Is it in Britain? Is it the Tesco's of the world? Or who's deciding?
On all the products that are decided, beef and dairy are decided on the world market. But if you take fruit and veg, poultry and pig meat, it's decided here by the Irish multiples. And that's why last February there, IFA took to the street and blockaded the supermarkets to get a fair price for our.
Now, if you got a couple of euro more, it means that everyone would pay a couple of more euro for their chicken. Would that change anything about your operation? Would it make the chickens any happier?
If that's what the people want, we've no problem doing it. But we'd see that we produce organic and we produce free range. But they're struggling in the marketplace.
You mean they will go for the cheap chicken side by side with the free range? The punter will go for the cheaper chicken rather than think of how that chicken might have spent its short life, maybe out of doors, living a chicken's life rather than living this life in a shed.
In utopia, yeah, like we see it every day. It's 99% down to price, and we as farmers we're keeping less chickens in our sheds now, yeah. In the directors with, and we have. Straw bales, our chickens are inspected regularly by the Department of Agriculture. The EPA have a massive regulatory role here as well on stocking rates in houses.
If you could do it differently, would you? If you could afford to do it differently, would you?
Well, yeah, we'd all love to be producing free range chickens with the door open. And the only thing I would say that if I open the door, I have a couple of pals that are free range. And before the housing order that came in there in November, mm-hmm. the birds refused to go outdoors.
What, they wanted to stay warm inside?
Would you go out if you had the choice?
The question of the price, you say that the price of poultry is set locally, and I can understand that. When I was in France a couple of years back, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was astonished at the scrawny chickens they were flogging for about €15 a pop.
Yeah, these are exactly, you've hit the nail on the head, and there is a big market in France for that, but it comes at a price. I have a sister living in France, and I was on the phone to her on the way up this morning, and she told me those chickens that you were talking about, these scrawny 10, 12 week old chickens, €25, €26 is the Irish consumer, where they're struggling at the moment to pay energy bills. They don't have the money to
don't have the money. All right, look, I'm not sure we'll get to the bottom of this debate, but you're saying the intensification that is being applied for is catch up. Because of the EPA's restrictions on their own activities.
And that we're so well regulated that there really is no reason for worry here. All
right. Nigel Sweetman, chair of the IFA Poultry Committee, thank you very much for joining us. And before that, we were talking to Caroline Rowley, founder of Ethical Farming Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
You set the gold standard for your business. Your website should do the same. Wix puts you at the helm so you can enjoy the creative freedom of designing your site just the way you want. Want someone to bounce your ideas off? Talk with AI to create a beautiful site together. Generate on-brand content, images, media, and simply change or fine-tune any of it along the way. Whatever your business, manage it from one place and tie it all together with a personalized domain name. Gear up for success with a brand that says you best. You can do it yourself on Wix.